For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, everybody, welcome in to Pickaxe and Roll, brought to you by our good friends over at Superbook Sports. I am your host, Ryan Blackburn, at NBA Blackburn on Twitter. And I am joined by a very special guest here, somebody who I have collaborated with on the Alley-Oop podcast. For those that are wondering, that one has been, it's been a little bit on that one, but we'll get back into the swing of things here at some point. Maybe it'll be a next year thing, but I am joined by my friend Anthony Irwin of Lakers Lounge. Really excited to have you on, Anthony. Thank you so much for stopping by. How's it going?
You know, it's going pretty good. We were talking before we went live here about the Lakers and Nuggets matching up and how it all feels destined. It's a little earlier than I think everybody would prefer. But, you know, at the end of the day, you got to face who you have to face when you have to face them. Both teams messed around in the Lakers case all season, in the Nuggets case late in the season, right? That game at San Antonio or against San Antonio. It always did feel like we were going to arrive back here, right? Third time in 4 years.
It certainly did. And like, it is kind of funny that with the bubble, the way that it was, and kind of with the Nuggets years in between the way that they were, where you've got Jamal Murray going down due to injury. And then, Michael Porter also going down for one of those years. It felt like there was a window missed between these two teams where they could have met even more in the playoffs. And ultimately that didn't end up coming to pass. And obviously the Lakers have gone through their own ups and downs, most notably with the Russell Westbrook trade. But aren't you glad that you don't have to think about that one anymore? Like it's been a little bit since you had to think about Russell Westbrook, I think.
No, those are those haunting memories that, like, you know, it's just, they never really quite go away. You could try to suppress them, right? You could, I don't know if you've ever had a bite of truly terrible food.
Oh yeah.
Right. Like it just sits with you. You know, you're always going to remember it. And anytime the name of that or an alcohol that like bit you a little too hard, right? Mine's SoCo. I can't even think about SoCo and like not like get brought back to that night. So yeah, that's Russ will live on in Lakers lore.
For me, that's Vegemite. Like I tried Vegemite for the first time and just it will never happen again. Just a vile, vile thing. And that's fine. For those that love it, great. You can have it. That's okay with me.
It sounds disgusting. Like I don't like they did a terrible job naming that stuff.
Like, yeah, no, just... no, thank you. Like might, yeah, okay, sure, guys.
Might be a veggie.
Dejan, he drops in the chat. Hey, you did a podcast a little bit ago with my friend Adam Morris, your friend Adam Morris. I listened to that show. That was a very good show. For those that don't like, obviously nobody knows. I'm going to be on Anthony's show a little bit later. We're going to chat again, kind of from a different perspective. We're going to do a home and home podcast, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Looking forward to all of the topics that we're going to be able to cover. But yes, Dejanda, Adam, myself, like if you're on the Nuggets side, it's me, myself, or it's me, Adam, Matt, and Swipa, who are all like interconnected at this point. And we'll get a Denvengers episode here up at some point, but it's always cool to see everybody interacting and see everybody having a grand old time ready for these playoffs, man. But it's almost
like fitting this matchup being what it is, right? It really has, in really underrated ways, kind of shaped the Western Conference over the last like 4 or 5 years or so. And it's kind of hilarious how it's worked out, because the Nuggets are probably the team that I am closest by proxy to, right? Because you meant like you know, do the project with you that we worked on this year. We have Adam is one of my closest friends in the industry. Matt and I go way back as well. It's just all of the DNVR guys, right? Brendan, Harrison, like all of those guys, Dev, like I, you know, it's just like so many Denver fans who I hate being happy because of my Lakers.
Yeah. Feelings mutual, bro. Like I was thinking about this heading into this conversation, like, man, this is what it feels like. This has got to be like on the other side, what it feels like to be a Laker fan talking to a Nuggets fan for like the entire 2000s and then the entire 1980s. Like it's just sort of how it was. And then 2020 happened and Nuggets fans were very, very excited at that moment. And that ultimately didn't end up working out well for Denver. Worked out great for LA. But there's just a lot to, there's a lot of layers to this rivalry. And there, I think it's kind of being fed into by Michael Malone, not necessarily like, I don't think he does it intentionally, like, or some of it he does intentionally, some of it he doesn't. But it sort of feels like every time that he speaks to the media, it feels like Lakers fans are just waiting for, oh, he said something like a little bit iffy about the Lakers. Let's get into it now. Let's talk to it now. Do you think he's going to go down as the most hated coach in LA, or is that saved for horrible LA coaches?
It's like two different categories. I would say like Pop is up there, right? Can't stand Pop. Like I think he gets away with so much crap because he's good with the media. And like the Lakers and the Spurs just went at it for so long. I think you'd have to have a few more years before Malone gets to that level. Obviously like super, super old Lakers fans are going to hate Red Auerbach and he's, you know, he's going to be, on the tip of their tongue with their dying breath, right? Like you take away 11 titles or whatever it was from the Lakers. And eventually like that guy's going to be hated. But I do think that like Malone is certainly like working his way there. Right. And like, I do think, there's some intent, you know, with some of the stuff that he says, right. I think he's toned it down a lot this year. You know, last year though, I honestly had like, you almost never hear a coach talk that way going into a series. Right. And, I'm sure the Nuggets loved it. I'm sure Nuggets fans love it, right? He's going to just only further endear himself to that city by crapping on the Lakers. Really smart. But like, it was like really kind of blowing him away. He called his shot. Yeah, we're going to take D'Lo out of the series, and then did. You know, I don't know what the impetus is for Bruce Brown hating every fiber of D'Angelo Russell's body. but like it worked out, you know, and D'Lo was not a factor at all in last year. He was a factor, right?
Yeah.
He was very much a factor in the series, but in very much in Denver's way, so much so that he just wasn't playable by the end of it. And if you have, you know, one of your three or four most talented, maybe not best or whatever, most talented players on the bench, as long as he was, you know, it was just, it's part of the reason that sweep took place.
It's also just one of the reasons why I think a lot of the Nuggets and Nuggets fans, well, Nuggets fans are a little bit of a different category because I think they're high on life and expecting a four game sweep. But I think that this is going to be a little bit different this time around. And if you talk to people in the building, they think it's going to be tougher. They really do, because the Lakers have had more time to gel. They've had more opportunities, and it just, like, looking on the outside, it does feel like they're a better team from where they were last year at times. And I know that it's kind of been hidden, and you and I have talked about this, about the rotations and Darvin Ham not necessarily pushing all the right buttons at the right time, but it does feel like they're sort of rounding into form a little bit. And I think Lakers fans have a lot more confidence heading into it this time than maybe not last, because I think everybody was high on life last time these two teams faced in the Western Conference Finals. But
yeah,
it does feel like this is a better squad, and D'Angelo Russell, among others, is just a better player.
Yeah, it's funny. I asked Adam how he feels going into this one, and I thought he gave a really interesting answer, and I feel kind of the opposite of it. Not in that I disagree. It's just that I am like the inverse of how he feels, where he's like, he feels more confident in the Nuggets this time around than he did last time, but he feels like there's a better chance that the Nuggets could lose this one than last year, right? The gap is I think objectively narrower between the two teams. And that's kind of, I feel like the inverse version of that, where I feel less confident because, you know, how could anybody possibly have confidence going up against a team that has beat you 573 straight times? And fair. All of them taking place in the same exact way, right? The script has been the same in all of these games. And so I don't have a ton of confidence, but I do think, you know, anybody who has looked at these two teams closely or watched these two teams closely would have to acknowledge that that gap has narrowed. There's no Bruce Brown in this one. There's no Jeff Green in this one, who I know wasn't good for the Nuggets last year, but he's just another professional basketball player with right. playoff experience, right? Just kind of a safety net there for, you know, what happens if Peyton Watson isn't quite ready for this moment? What happens if Christian Brown isn't quite ready for this moment without Bruce Brown? And then the Lakers also, right? Like, they didn't start Rui Hachimura until game 4 of that series last year. They didn't start Rui until like 63% of the way through this season, right? So it's kind of hard to find any real data between these two teams that explains anything about how the series is going to go. I do think D'Lo was a little bit better. I think Austin is a little bit better. LeBron and AD say that they are healthier. I think that's a big factor here going into this one. And yet, wouldn't surprise me. The Nuggets sweeping the Lakers would legitimately surprise me. That would really shock me. But, you know, a gentleman sweep or a Denver in 6, you know, series that feels comfortable for Denver the whole way through, that seems the likeliest outcome here.
Yeah, we'll get into some of those individual matchups, playoff questions in the next segment. But just in general, like, I do agree with you that the gap feels like it's narrowed just a little bit. When you lose Bruce Brown, Denver, I think, and a lot of folks have tried to talk around this in a couple different ways. Like, Denver tried to replace Bruce Brown with 3 separate players. They tried to do it with Reggie Jackson for the ball handling and the playmaking. Mm-hmm. They tried to do it with Peyton Watson for the athleticism and the defense. And they tried to do it with Christian Brown with just internal improvements and different guys that you could, like, different rotations that you can do. And yet Bruce Brown was one guy that was just like, you could throw him at pretty much any situation and he would thrive. And that is definitely going to be missed in this particular series, especially when he was able to cancel out a guy like D'Lo, who, for whatever reason, like, it just felt like the confidence wasn't there last year, despite the fact that it probably could have or should have been. Now, Denver, like, they've got better defenders. Like, I think Peyton Watson is a better defender than Bruce Brown. I think Christian Brown's a better defender than Christian Brown last year. Yeah. And yet, like, you could definitely see somebody like D'Angelo Russell having multiple 20 or even 30 point games in this and really changing and flipping the tone from what was a clear disadvantage for the team last year. So I'm kind of with Adam on that. Like, I can see, like, because I have confidence in Denver because I've seen it happen. I've seen what they do. And I've also seen them in this particular moment where they kind of flip the switch mentally from regular season to playoffs, and it looks like a different team most of the time. So I'm curious what it ultimately looks like, but I do think that, like, this is going to be a fun matchup. It really is. Now, let me ask you this really quick, because our mutual friend Harrison Fagan was the main character for a while. I was curious to get your thoughts on that and to sort of tell the audience here what the hell I mean and why it was so funny the way that it was.
Well, really quick, I want to add one more thing to the Brown thing on the topic, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Denver's identity is so, like, cemented with that five-man group, right? With, like, that is the best five-man group in the sport. I know Boston and, you know, and the analytics would say that Boston's is better, and, you know, the actual production would indicate that Boston's is better. Boston also got 14 wins off of, like, Washington and Charlotte and the likes of those guys to like really kind of prop up all of their stats. It's why I would fade them going into the finals whenever they play an actual NBA team. But, like, The thing that Brown did that, like, I think Denver might really miss this year is when those five guys weren't on the court. And no matter what the reason was that those guys, whether it was their scheduled rest, if MPJ wasn't up to snuff defensively, whatever the case would have been, Brown stepped onto the court and owned every minute that he was on the court. He became such a central part of Denver's identity during that run last year. You know, he strolls into the arena rocking the cowboy hat, right? He's such a big part, or was such a big part, of why the Nuggets had so much confidence last year. And I do kind of wonder, in those moments where Jokic is sitting, or in those moments when Murray is sitting, what the identity, what that, how that's going to look without Brown kind of propping that up with the amount of an incredible confidence that he played with. I legitimately think Brown will never play basketball at that level ever again. Has ever, or great. Never will again. Yeah. That's the best that dude can play. It's why he's making, what do you make this year? $30 million or
like
whatever?
$20 million. Yeah.
It's why he got that contract. It was because of that series, and totally earned it. Was absolutely incredible. And I do kind of wonder how things are going to go there. But yeah, what was the question you had again?
It was on Harrison Fagan, our mutual friend.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So Harrison did the thing. It's one thing to have the opinion. It's another thing to tweet it. And I think he has like 90,000 Twitter followers too.
Yeah.
But he tweeted it out in very like definitive terms that if the Lakers are really, you know, championship or bust, that they need to avoid the Denver Nuggets and do whatever it takes to avoid the Denver Nuggets. What's funny is I went on my show right after the Lakers had beaten beat the Pelicans the first time to get that eight spot. And I didn't say it as definitive, but it was like, you know, it wouldn't be the worst thing to not face Denver, to have them on the other side of the bracket, to see, like,
right.
It wouldn't be terrible. And then it was funny too, because the when the Lakers played the Pelicans in the play-in tournament, they had this 18-point lead that got whittled all the way down. And I mean, I don't think I'm breaking any news to anybody here, but anybody watching that game would also agree, if Zion doesn't pull his hammy there, the Pelicans probably win. He was obliterating the Lakers in that game. And yet, like, while it was happening, I was like that Drake gif where it's like, oh no, shoot, man, it would really suck if the Lakers lost this lead, man, what a brutal. But yeah, Harrison like wrote it for SB Nation, tweeted it, stood by it. I gave him the opportunity to come on the show and explain himself, and he was like, screw all you haters, I stand by all of it. And honestly, like, practically speaking, I think he's actually correct, but in terms of how people fan and what we actually watch sports for, that's where that stance kind of loses out.
Oh, absolutely. Like, it was a lot of fun to talk about. I had previously tweeted about it, like, hey, if Denver ends up in the two and the Lakers are in the 7-8, would they actually throw it? Would they do that on purpose? More like joking. But then it kind of caught some steam. It kind of caught some seriousness. And you have Magic Johnson tweeting about it. And
like, yeah.
Magic Johnson
wants to talk about, like, you know, wanting to win playoff games and stuff like that. Perhaps you shouldn't have traded Ivica Zubats for Mike Muscala. Mm. Just throwing it out there. Yeah. You know, if winning was your goal, maybe you surround LeBron James with shooting and not with a whole bunch of guys who can't shoot and all want to dribble the air out of the ball.
Interesting. That is a
not bitter on my theory. End at all.
I'm curious as to what Magic was thinking with half of the decisions that he made. Yeah. No, man, it's funny that it ended up being this way. Like, now we don't, like, really have to think about it. Like, it's just we're gonna confront it, we're gonna see what it looks like, how this is ultimately gonna pan out immediately. And I'm looking forward to it. This is gonna be a lot of fun. Let's take a break. When we come back, we're gonna chat about some of the individual matchups, what happens when each team kind of has the ball, things like that. And I'm gonna ask Anthony, who the heck guards Jamal Murray? Because I think that's a good question. But first, let's do an ad read. Let's talk about Superbook Sports, the most trusted name in sports gambling, with a direct line to Las Vegas. And you can use their promo code MILEHIGH and score up to $250 with their first bet bonus Win or lose, Superbook will match your first bet up to $250 with promo code MILEHIGH. Download the Superbook Sports app, enter the promo code, and you'll get $250 courtesy of Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. We'll be right back on Pickaxe and Roll.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We are back. Pickaxe and Roll. Ryan Blackburn here. Thank you so much for tuning into the show, joined by my friend Anthony Irwin over at Lakers Lounge, where we'll be doing part two of this podcast, kind of going back and forth on different things that we can chat about for the Nuggets and the Lakers playoff series. Should be a lot of fun. Anthony, I've got some questions for you. I've got some questions about matchups. Can the Lakers get away with playing Anthony, or wait, with not playing Anthony Davis when Jokic is out there? I'm curious about that because I wonder if the Lakers were, like, they would be able to get a massive advantage in some of those non-Jokic minutes if they could throw Anthony Davis out there with the size that he has, with the rebounding and kind of taking advantage of Aaron Gordon playing backup center and Peyton Watson playing backup power forward. Like, there's definitely an opportunity there. But that means that you got to throw somebody else at Nikola Jokic. Can the Lakers get away with doing that?
No. Okay. Not really. It's like, because AD, I think he's probably going to spend more time on Jokic in this series than he did last year. I think he's kind of prepped himself for it, kind of physically and mentally. And look, the reason you have Anthony Davis, and Lakers fans, and myself included, like to say that he's the most versatile and best defensive presence in the league. If you're going to say that, then you have to, like, AD has to back it up and go out and defend the guy who might be on his way to winning his, third MVP in 4 years. This is a series where AD needs to kind of make up for how it went last year. I know that he scored 40 in game one, but a lot of it was kind of jumpers, and I don't like to use the phrase empty stats, but it felt like empty calories there for a little bit. And look, he was a central part, or his matchup swinging the way that it did, was a central part of the Lakers being swept. And I think he needs to kind of step up here and make up for that. If he can, Jokic is the best player in the world. And the thing that I've always loved about Jokic is that, you throw whatever you want at him and eventually he's going to figure it out. And then he'll just pick at the scab over and over and over and over again until the bleeding just becomes so much that you got to stitch it up. And the thing that drives me kind of bonkers with AD sometimes is, he'll make a move that he very easily could replicate, but then he'll go away from it because he's like, well, doing that again, like I'm too talented to do the same thing over and over and over again. And the Lakers are operate like that too. Like I had a scout tell me earlier in the year that the Lakers run good stuff. Like they have good sets. They have decent principles on occasion when they run their sets. But you almost, you can scout for them and plan and prepare for them just wandering away from those good sets because they get ADD or something. And Jokic doesn't do that. Jokic and if the Lakers try to go at him without AD on the court, Jackson Hayes,
right?
Jackson Hayes, and that's what, like, it drove me insane at the deadline that Rob Pelinka chose not to even make marginal upgrades to this roster. Now, obviously, you can't predict that Christian Wood is going to have a knee injury that would hold him out for the rest of the year. That kind of changes the math on it, but I thought the Lakers you know, should have maybe used some second round draft capital to go out and get a center with a little bit more in the back pocket to try to not be moved as easily as Jokic is going to move Jackson Hayes. Hayes is the exact kind of big that Jokic just picks apart like crazy too. Cause he's like hyperactive and he jumps at every pump fake. And every time Jokic is going to like even look one direction, Hayes going to fly off in that direction. And so I think it becomes even more important this year for AD to play and to match all of Jokic's minutes. The thing there though, is that like, you have to be really well conditioned to match Jokic's minutes because he doesn't wear down. Yeah. Like he might breathe like he has a constant head cold, but he just never slows down. And he actually was the person who really figured this out before everybody else. AD likes to crash the offensive rebound for rebounds he has no business going for, or he likes to fall in all of these things on a lot of attempts. And Jokic is just like, okay, anytime it's going to take AD even a half a step longer to get back on defense, I'm going to fly down the middle of that court and I'm going to pick apart anybody who isn't Anthony Davis down there. And when AD isn't there, like at all, there's nobody on the Lakers who stands a chance. So I had Lakers fans, Ryan, like legitimately seriously asking me, should the Lakers waive Christian Wood and bring Dwight Howard in so that they have him to at least like give it a go against Jokic in the series.
It's wild. I've seen that one like YouTube short floating around where it's like the one guy that can stop Nikola Jokic, and it's just like Dwight Howard just like elbow checking Jokic in the back of the head and things like that from the bubble. And like it is true that like he gave him some problems. So you need somebody physical, you need somebody smart, you need somebody who's just as strong as an ox, and that's what Dwight Howard was.
I know you're doing things. This
in jest, but like it's 4 years ago, I doubt that he would have anything for this series. But the Tristan Thompson, yep, that was one that I think
I honestly don't think it's a surprise that Thompson looked the best against Jokic last year.
It's wild.
Like, you know,
you got to use him in short bursts. That's the thing. Yeah. It's like you can't let him see it for that long or else he will figure it out. But I do the Jokic minutes are going to be the big thing for this because I went back and looked at all the plus minuses for every single one of these games. I think Jokic has a positive plus minus in every one of them. And then the Nuggets actually have a negative plus minus when he's off the floor in every single one of them. The problem is that he just plays a lot. He's out there on the floor. And if you have him on the floor for that often, like things are generally, they're pretty good that are going to happen. So it's probably a matchup that the Lakers are going to struggle with for sure. But the other one is Jamal Murray. I'm curious as to your perspective on this because it also sort of has kind of down the line impact on Michael Porter Jr. as well. Like, who guards Jamal Murray? Who stays on him? And do the Lakers kind of break their rotation that played in the Pelicans game in order to try to match up with Murray specifically?
Yeah, I think Reeves will get the first nod, you know, and Murray is the kind of guard that Reeves is actually like okay against.
Okay.
He's a bigger guard. He likes to get physical. Now, if Murray starts posting him up a bunch, I think the Lakers would have to adjust because, you know, that is where Reeves can sometimes struggle. But like the players that Reeves has zero chance against are the De'Aaron Foxes of the world, the Malik Monks, the short, quick, like lightning quick guards who can also shoot. Reeves has zero chance whatsoever against them. But like now look, Murray, especially playoff Murray, is an exponentially better basketball player than CJ McCollum. But I thought Reeves looked okay on McCollum there in those two games back to back. And it's because like he's a bigger guard. He's not as quick, not as shifty. And you know, those are the guys that Reeves, you know, typically does okay against. If Murray starts, you know, really going at Reeves in a way that is not manageable for the Lakers, I think you'll see Gabe Vincent a little bit more in this series. They've really tried hard to get him up to speed. And he is very much not up to speed. He's been kind of a disaster on that side of the ball, but defensively he's come along. He's done some good things there. So I think, you know, he'll be a guy that they lean on. Spencer Dinwiddie also, like, when he got to the Lakers, it was really clear that he was trying to remember how to play defense. That's why he spent the first week in foul trouble, because he was like, oh shoot, that's
defense.
How do I do this again? And he's kept fouling everybody. But like over the course of his time with the Lakers, he like kind of started to get a little bit more. So I think they'll use Dinwiddie's length on Jamal Murray a little bit too. And then they'll just kind of rotate those three guys. And now what that means for D'Angelo Russell and the role that he can play in the series, basically he has to be otherworldly hot to get as many minutes as I think he is accustomed to, because he's so bad defensively, and he's going to be guarding somebody in KCP who's going to run him around all these screens. KCP just, he has infinite turbo, so he just never stops moving, and a lot of back cuts and floating down to the corners and stuff. And those are the things that D'Lo can really struggle with, because he'll stand there and forget what he's supposed to be doing defensively. And if D'Lo struggles like that defensively and isn't absolutely great offensively to make up for those struggles on defense, I think he'll be playing a smaller role in this. And I do though think that the Lakers are better off this year if D'Lo isn't who he needs to be in this series. Last year it was Schroeder, and he was so bad offensively that whatever he did defensively just really didn't help all that much. I think Dinwiddie is a little bit better for you there. And I think Gabe Vincent is a little bit better there in terms of like overall balance. I think Schroeder is a better player than both of those guys. That's why he got paid more, it's close between him and Gabe. But those are the things with Murray and look, with Porter, the thing that makes Porter so difficult to deal with is he's almost a freaking 7-footer who jumps really high on his jumper, and can't he has a really high release. And last year you had Reeves guarding him. It's just like, it didn't matter if Reeves had the perfect closeout, he was staring at his belly button, So they need to they'll probably keep Rui on Porter for as long as they possibly can.
Interesting. So you think the matchup then is going to go LeBron guarding Aaron Gordon, I assume.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. That's not what I expected.
Or either LeBron on Aaron Gordon or AD on Aaron Gordon to do some help stuff, But the problem with having your help side defender being on Aaron Gordon, he's so great at those baseline cuts. He is so great in the dunker spot, and shoot, in game four, he scored 30 points and knocked down all kinds of three pointers too. So, it's that's the thing that makes the Nuggets so freaking hard to with that five man group so difficult to deal with, is there isn't a single player in that five man group who isn't teams will try to get away with a near zero, but all five of those guys are like legit threats at various areas on the court. And you have the world's best facilitator, or one of them, right? If you want to include LeBron there, it's either Jokic or LeBron is the world's best facilitator. And he knows exactly where everybody is at all times.
It certainly helps. That is a factor that's always going to give Denver an advantage in a matchup like this one, because what I think the Lakers are still going to have to be pretty compromised in their matchups unless AD can guard Jokic straight up. And we've seen that enough times. I don't think it's going to happen, but I don't know. We're going to find out. I think that there were a lot of folks that were hoping at the beginning of game one last year that, hey, can AD stick on Jokic for a little bit longer, and can he actually give him some problems? And the Lakers ultimately went away from that a lot throughout the rest of the series. So
yeah,
what we think might happen at the beginning here might shift just based off of like one game or one and a half games of data, because it's just going to be so fascinating how these teams kind of go about it. Like if the Nuggets don't hit some of the crazy shots that they hit, then maybe the Lakers can get away with some of this. Like maybe they can. And like,
think game one is going to be important for that reason.
Yeah, the thing that worries me with Jokic, you basically have to have every club in your bag to try to like throw all kinds of different looks at him. And the Lakers just don't have that many clubs, you know? Yeah. Like they don't have a brutal, like, bruising center. They don't have Vanderbilt there to come and either soft or hard trap, you know, on him. And I think Vando's is going to be missed in the series. Jokic just figures so many things out so quickly. And when you don't have that many pitches to throw at him, I it's just really difficult to try to even start to get you wrap your brain around, like, all right, well, those things didn't work. Now what, you know? I'm concerned about how quickly the Lakers arrive at the now what portion of defending Jokic.
Last question I have for you. If the Lakers win the series, it will be because of what? Like, what is going to have to happen?
I think it starts up top, where I think Jokic is going to be the best player in the series. You know, he was that comfortably last year. Adam still thinks that LeBron was there as the second best, but Murray was really close there. You know, I think it's a real conversation. If the Lakers can somehow get LeBron and AD both to be noticeably better than Jamal Murray, that's where this all starts. And right. And if they can, you know, slightly lose, not get run off of the court when Denver's best five are out there, and then beat the crap out of the Nuggets when, you know, bench units are out there. That's the equation here. The problem is, you know, that five-man lineup is really difficult to deal with. And if it does look like the Lakers are running those bench units off of the court, Jokic is well conditioned enough to just go out there and play 40 minutes a night, you know, play 43 minutes a night.
Yeah. It's very possible. And I remember at the end of that series, he was playing 43, 44, as was Murray at that point. And whether they can do that this year or not remains to be seen. We'll have to figure that out. But I'm curious, man. It's going to be a lot of fun. Don't want to spoil all the content, everybody. We're going to be doing a part two here over on Anthony's podcast, Lakers Lounge. So make sure to go follow Anthony. I think it's at Anthony Irwin LA. Is that true? Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep. Make sure to go follow Anthony over there on Twitter. And if you haven't already, like, he's a fantastic Lakers coverage. Like, that's exactly what you're looking for with this, and entertaining to say the least. So, Anthony, thank you so much for stopping by, man. Everybody, thank you so much for joining on the show. Please hit that like button, that subscribe button on the way out. We'll talk to you guys in just a little bit over on Lakers Lounge. Thanks, everyone.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.